That's for you. Even Mark's boy.
His nuts are bigger than mine.
Rocking it.
Holy.
So there's a sack, and then in there is where they will settle into?
My nephew had a sack.
Yo, this nothing right here. When he comes out, we're going to go clubbing, man. We're going to take him clubbing and use him as a magnet to pull chicks. Hello, everyone. Hola, mis amigos. You're listening to Oh My God, Hi, Hijo de Dios, Hola. With me, George Lopez, porque sabes que, let's do the show, porque está calado, dude, tengo que go to that dry cleaner ahí, my kid Phelps, se pegó la cabeza, I gotta go get some Neosporin, Paul.
You know where George is?
Oh, I'm sure he's around here somewhere.
What's his name?
George Lopez.
George Lopez.
Oh my God.
OMG.
OMG. Hi.
Oh my God, hi.
Hey everybody, this is producer Grant here. Just a reminder, if you like the show, if you're enjoying the show, please like, comment, subscribe on any platform you're checking it out on, whether that's on YouTube, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything. Any engagement that we have really, really helps. We all serve the almighty algorithm these days, and any amount that you sort of interact with the show in any way just really helps us out, helps us get cooler guests for the show, helps raise the profile for the show, helps give us more content for you guys to enjoy. So thanks again for checking it out, and please enjoy the episode.
Needless to say, our guest will not be having beer.
Sadly.
But in the old days, women used to...
Yep.
So in the comedy days, I was in Las Vegas in the 90s at Harris, and there was a woman who was expecting a child, Latina, at the bar, drinking a goblet of wine.
Ooh.
And as we were having our vodka cranberries... I could not stop looking at the fact that this woman was expecting a child and into her third goblet of red wine.
Oh, what trimester was she in?
I would say she was in her third child. I said, "Are you pregnant and drinking?" And she said, "It's not yours, puto."
There you go.
Hey,
you know, I just
another
made a
goblet.
True. I made a comment to my wife just a couple of days ago. I said, back in the day when you were pregnant, I said, I don't remember people telling you don't drink. She wasn't drinking. She said, well, they didn't say it because
this
I wasn't drinking.
Bother you, doesn't?
No. What, your sunglasses?
But, yeah.
No, why?
She says, but wait a minute. But listen, I'm going to say something right now. Then we'll introduce our guest.
All right.
When you first came in here, you threw caution to the wind. You had a big laugh. You probably were like 70 pounds heavier. You didn't have a fucking cane. And you loved it. You were laughing. And then all of a sudden, now that we know more about you, when something gets a little bit too close to being married, you're like, I can't. I better not. You know, like almost like they're monitoring you.
Grant, she doesn't even listen to this shit. My wife doesn't even listen to this shit.
How do you think he stayed married for 51 years?
Yeah, she doesn't listen
I don't know.
To this shit.
I was almost saying, have you noticed the difference?
In Gil?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you pick and choose
is
battles.
Is he less mamon or more?
Hey,
what's the number?
Hey, no, I'm not more mamon. If it's funny, I laugh. Even she didn't even...
Hey, boy, don't blame it on me.
If it's all funny, right. I laugh.
Introduce our guest.
All right, joining us.
While Tommy Lasorda finishes his
beer. Joining us on the podcast today, we have Liz Iacuzzi, comedian, current podcaster, host of Was I in a Cult podcast, as well as self-described one pregnant ass lady. So, Liz, welcome to the podcast.
Very true. Thank you for having me.
What does it feel like to be pregnant? You know what I mean?
Yeah, one
word. How
much
time do you have?
We're never going to be...
You're never.
Your hormones change. When I was pregnant, I was working with Bill Ingvall.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Ingvall and I were co-headlining, and Ingvall said, has Anne just started crying for no reason? And I said, no. And I went home and I said to Anne, Bill Ingvall asked me if you started crying for no reason. And she goes, no, I have the next day. And the days after that, she would cry for no reason.
Now, like now did I hear her say, did my change, did you change? Or you're talking about her, your hormones.
I'm talking about your wife.
No, I thought you said.
The male hormones.
You've changed.
The male hormones change more than the women.
With your Comic-Cons and crime world conventions. All right.
Think of like everything you are, and then think of something sucking everything
Man.
out of that.
And did you know before you know? Like, do women know? Oh, like, no. Guys, we're like, I didn't use a condom. I think I'm okay. But do women know? Can you feel like you're like, oh, my God.
Well, there's a month that you, for me, I had no idea. And it was my birthday month.
Yeah.
So I was having
it's
fun.
It's a big thing because for the next, I mean, like us, you know, if we're tired, we can go to sleep and wake up and be refreshed. When you're pregnant, your hormones change, your body changes, you can't sleep the same way, you have to pee all the time, you have to be careful where you go, and right? It's gotta be...
Oh, and every step of the way is something new, and for me, it's my first, so I have no idea what's taking over my body.
Well, God bless you, good for you.
But yeah, I didn't know for a month, or 7 weeks, 6 weeks, and then I just couldn't get out of bed, late October.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't get out of bed, and I was like,
did you think it was
COVID? Thought it was COVID.
That was COVID. Yeah. I love that.
Next day, couldn't get out of bed. I was like, oh, fuck, I got COVID. And took the test, not COVID. So I was like, oh, what autoimmune disorder do I have? Like, let's go down the chain of autoimmune disorder.
And that's what you felt like?
That's what I thought. Because it was just a weird feeling. It just, I had never felt it before in this way.
And it was the same thing
and,
with COVID.
Yep. And then I thought, what if I'm pregnant? But that's impossible. But, you know, what if I'm pregnant? Not impossible. Obviously, it's not impossible.
No, it's impossible. But.
But I didn't, I wasn't, ex- I.
You.
It was, it was in the plan, but it wasn't in the exact, it came a little.
Time frame.
Correct. Thank you. So.
Because
said,
is there a right time or wrong time to make love? No.
I don't know.
You're in it?
Let me say this. I don't truly, in my heart of hearts.
Oh, here comes finally something.
I don't believe there's anything prettier than a pregnant lady that takes care of herself. And you look beautiful.
That walks around with no shoelaces on her feet?
That's it. Yeah, my wife was a beautiful pregnant lady.
Well, the one perk of my pregnancy so far is my leg hair has disappeared.
Oh, my God. Where did it go?
I have no idea. Sometimes you get hairier, sometimes...
How about that?
It's all going to the
How about that she got pregnant? The leg hair is gone. Like, where'd it go?
That's no,
it's gone.
Three times I've shaved in the last however months. Not joking.
And as you have gone on and growing, do you know the sex or...
He's a boy.
Because it's there's people. Did someone see you and say it's a boy, or did somebody say
it was a psychic?
No, or just a friend or somebody.
No, but people always say, like, when they see me, they're like, "Oh, you're carrying a boy. I can tell because it's all facing forward."
Yep.
But
really?
Those are like people who are moms with nothing better to do with their time than analyze what.
Oh no!
Apparently, boys grow this way. Girls grow this way.
I had my first two were girls. My last one was a boy.
Did you know back in the day? I wonder when they started telling people. When did they start telling?
We found out really early. 10 weeks. You can find out.
And you guys
now.
Wanted to know.
Yeah.
I think so.
I just, you know, I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, I do. I want to know.
I know. I did know with the first two, and my third one. My dad told me, because I had six sisters, no brothers.
Yeah.
My dad told me, he says, "Mijo, look. If this one's another girl, count your blessings." Because I'd already announced to the family, this was at number three, no more. He says, count your blessings, because girls will always come back and take care of their fathers.
Boys
have to take care of their own families. They go to their own families.
All right, here's what I heard.
And then, if you have a boy, I'll pay for the mariachis.
Mm.
And then we had a boy.
Pay for mariachis.
Got the mariachis there.
So since you're having a boy, we'd like to pay for your mariachis.
Thank you.
When did that the shower, or when should we hire him?
When I announced him. That day, he was already
there. Oh, he was already out?
He was already out. And put him in a little mariachi outfit.
And I already put his fucking powder to work.
Now they came in.
You have him at Alvera Street right there?
Right there, Montebello.
So you put him in a little uniform?
Yeah.
Don't put your little kid in a little uniform. Let him be in a diaper for
I'm looking. It wouldn't be a mariachi outfit.
Here's what I heard. When you have a boy, you only have to worry about one dick. And when you have a girl, you have to worry about millions of them.
That's true.
Because you don't want anybody banging your, you know.
How's that worked out for you?
It's, you know, it's fucking horrible.
Coming in.
You know, because, you know, mine's on TikTok and.
All the time. All
there's
the
like,
things.
There's like cleavage. You're just like, really? That does out. And it's your little girl.
Do you talk to her about that? And you're like, let's have a chat about your social media.
I saw her on TikTok and it looked like she was driving and on doing a video. So I said, please don't drive. And she said, oh, that was my friend. Okay, that's different. But you're still in the car. Oh, you'll be all right. But yeah, when you have a child, everything, bless you, everything changes.
Right.
Because now, before you could travel, right, you could pick up and say, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that. And then now when you have, because you don't want to leave them alone for at least 2 years where you can't trust, right. You don't trust. All of a sudden now, your mom and your dad in there, and your family's the most loving family in the world. But would you leave your kid with them? No, you know, nah, we're good. No, I really, there's people that have kids that are 5 years old who have never had a babysitter, like somebody always stays with the kid.
Now, as I get older, the only one I worry about now is the dog. You know, who's going to take care of the dog and the family? Other than that, the kids are big.
How old is that dog, by the way?
About 6 years old now. February 8th, it turned six.
Yeah.
We got him as a stray. He's been with us for a year. They said he was 5 years old when we found him. So he's 6 years old now.
Do you know that I saw a dog being rescued, and they cut his hair and blow-dried it and conditioned it? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get my hair blow-dried and conditioned until I was probably like fucking 17. This dog was laying on the street. They hooked up, cut his toenails, did the whole thing.
Yeah.
Are you married?
No.
Okay. Because you got the,
who cares?
Do you have to be? Did your parents?
Apparently not. Apparently, you don't.
And when you go on stage you stand up, right?
I haven't done it in a couple of years.
Oh, do you miss it?
I do. I figure now's the time. Go on stage when you're pregnant. That's
but when you're all, if you go on stage and you're pregnant and talk about being pregnant, but do it in a way where I think that's where I think the. You can mine like the gold, because you know things are going to happen to you that have happened to a lot of other women, but yet they haven't happened to some women.
Right,
and that's a good place to live in. Right, you know, where you can have a perspective of telling people that can relate, but also they go, that's what you have to look
that's
forward to.
You're like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Some women just love being pregnant.
Which I don't know.
I appreciate being pregnant. But I don't know how. You have no ownership over anything. You are not your body, or anything else, or your brain, or your energy.
Yeah. Then you really—it's like storage until it's ready to come out, and then it grows, and then you go, and then they say, you know, do you want to see it? And you look, and then it starts to move.
Yep.
And then it presses against your bladder, and then you pee. All the time, and then you walk around with a big
gallon of water,
and it's still not enough water.
No, never enough water.
And are you nervous about delivery?
You don't think about that when you get pregnant.
from the time that I was a kid, and I would see women who were pregnant, I always wondered if they were afraid of giving birth. They had no choice. But if you don't have a child and you're in there and you go to the Lamaze, I don't know what they do now, but you're breathing.
Lamaze.
Remember, they don't do Lamaze anymore.
I don't know. That's what I
was
doing.
But whatever, it's like a boxer boxing his first fight. Like, no one can tell you what it's like until you get in the ring and go, fuck, that shit's fucking hard. I got tired. They told me to keep breathing. And some women, it's easy, and some women... It's not, and you don't know.
You don't know.
That didn't make you more nervous, did I?
No.
but you do think about it.
Yeah, and I think the closer, you know, you get to the...
When the water breaks, and it's on, man. Once the water breaks, you can't be like... I mean, if you're having contractions, you could be like, well, hey, we're in a movie theater. You'll be all right. But when the water breaks, that's when it's like, you're on the clock.
My first one, She was, oh my God, take me, kill me. I hate that. She was in a lot of pain. Went through a couple of days. I was in the police academy at that time. And so we got through the first one. The second one, I drove her to the hospital. And she was starting to get excited. She was starting, not excited, but panicking.
Yeah.
You know, she's concerned.
Nervous.
We got to the emergency room door. I remember she stepped out of my Chevy pickup and her water broke right there. And she started, oh my God, Gil, I just broke. All I wanted to do was keep her calm. So I just looked at her and I said, you fucking pig. How could you do
get
this?
Get that way, man.
You know, how could you do this? God damn it.
In the interior
and then
I just
Pearl. I said, you know, they see this stuff all the time. It's a hospital. You're pregnant. Natural.
Right.
So I just want to get her calm. She went in there, had the baby, and you mentioned Lamaze. So I'm saying, okay, I'm in there with you. Okay, breathe, breathe, breathe. Pant, pant, pant. And she's telling me, no, you got it wrong, fool. You got it wrong. Because I was telling the wrong stuff. I never made it to the Lamaze school.
Because you were in the police academy.
No, this was
you
the second
said,
one.
Pull over.
And then she tells me.
Spread them.
After I had, remember in the old days, you used to have this guy pull around a pony and take pictures on top of the pony. So the guy had raped me with my first kid. I told her, don't ever allow that man to put my kid on his horse again. Don't ever.
What do you mean raped you?
Well, money-wise.
Oh.
Money-wise. So
I thought he picked you up and put the devil and put you on the horse.
She's in the hospital. She's getting ready to have the baby. She says, do you love me? I said, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. She says, okay. I had the guy come around. We bought pictures again. Just like I love Lucy.
In that time, she decided to be.
When she's in the hospital, my sister put her up. She says, how am I going to tell my husband? My sister said, tell him when you're pregnant. He can't get pissed off then. So she said, do you love me? I'm saying, yes, I love you. And she says, okay, I bought the pictures, put the kids on the horse again.
That's hilarious. Did they do that on Lucy?
Yeah, they shit, that was...
Do you know that we would entrust our children to a guy with a mullet walking around with a donkey fucking painted black with a seat with a cowboy hat and you didn't know where he came from or whether he'd return?
My third kid's born. He's in the hospital. I go visit her day after he's born. I go to the hospital. I said, hey... Do you love me? She says, yes. I said, do you really love me? She says, yes. Okay, good. I wrecked the truck last night.
That's good. That's
we
good.
Got even.
So picking the right doctor.
Yeah.
Who recommended your doctor?
So I...
Is that okay? We talk about this?
Oh,
yeah.
Full on. Let's ask me anything.
Yeah, and then we'll get to that. But picking the right... Did you have the same doctor for all the kids?
First doc, no. First doctor was a family doctor. Second doctor was Kaiser. Second and third were Kaiser.
Random.
Yeah. Then Kaiser. I dumped Kaiser after that. But the first doctor.
Were they born in the hospital or outside?
Yes, in.
Okay. Because Kaiser, I probably shouldn't say anything about Kaiser. I'm sure they're.
Allegedly.
I mean, well, allegedly people could be born outside.
Allegedly.
In the delivery room. The light's better outside. But we had I only have one daughter. But we had a great, Anne had a great doctor. And weeks before mine was going to be born, the dude goes, I'm going away, and I won't be here when you have the baby. And he recommended another doctor. Did they do that?
They do. I hear that all of the time.
Whoa.
My doctor's having a second kid like 2 months after me. I was like,
whoa.
Good timing.
Yeah. You got to sync up.
But you know that.
And then you got a random doctor for the delivery?
That's not a move, though, is it? Is it a move they put on?
No, I just think it happens and it's.
Because the doctor that she had was not the doctor she was familiar with. Uh-huh. And she had struggled during labor and damage where I think. If you had your person that had been with you for the whole 9 months, and I don't know, I hope that's not something that they do, but yeah.
That sucks.
Because you've been going to the person from day one, all of a sudden, the weeks before, you're like, hey, I'm not going to be here, I'm going to be in Morocco.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you recommend?
I actually had this doctor before I got pregnant. I had like a surgery I needed, and so he's been with me.
Okay, good.
On a journey already.
Good.
So.
And when is your delivery date?
End of May 29th.
Ah. Have you had the shower yet?
No, you want to come?
If I'm wrong, I want to send Mariachis.
Shower is April 23rd.
That's my birthday.
It is?
Yeah.
Then you should come.
Shit, I'll be in Atlanta. It's not Atlanta, is it?
Yeah. That'd be even crazier.
So, but I would like to know when the child is born and send a present.
I
love when babies are born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
he has his both balls, and I've seen the penis.
You've seen the penis, yeah. And the thing?
Yep.
Wow.
So it's good.
Off to a great start.
And the
good
sacks. I've seen it all. You want to see it?
Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Show you a picture.
So, before.
Hold it up for the camera.
When we were coming up, if you saw something that looked like a fucking beginning of a dust storm, they go, it's a boy. You know, there's.
Right. Right.
Now you can see features.
Oh, yeah.
You can see everything. When ours, right? It was just fucking nothing. You can see nothing.
No. I never saw anything, any of my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of times you just...
Let's see it. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah. No.
Now they have those crazy, like, almost 3D-looking pictures they can do. I don't
know
if that's
what
you've got. Okay, yeah.
You know, when we first went, and it was validated that she was, Anne was pregnant, there was a blinking light, that's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was it.
And when my aunt, like, 3 months to go. I said in there, I said, well, hey, can we pull her out and play with her and put her back in? You know? And they said, no, you got to wait 3 months. And 3 months seemed like the fucking longest in the world. 26 years later.
Here
wow.
you go.
And the 3 months to me seemed.
That's for you. Even Mark's boy.
His nuts are bigger than mine.
Rocking it.
Holy.
So there's a sack and then. In there is where they will settle into.
My nephew had a sack.
Yo,
and a
this
nothing
right here. When he comes out, we're going to go clubbing. Man. We're going to take this. We're going to take him clubbing and use him as a magnet to pull chicks. Because he's got some. Those some balls right there. It looked like a catamaran.
Yeah,
like,
I got to see.
Like the dick and then the other.
You see the penis too, right?
Damn, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to avoid.
Listen.
Excellent work.
Even thank though
you.
He's not in the world,
I'm embarrassed.
If I knew I was going to be born with a big dick, I might have become a different person.
Okay,
there's something
to alien,
something too.
This is how alien he looks. You can see his face.
Wow.
His hand
oh,
is
yeah.
by his, like, this.
Oh, that's more that real 3D
I mean,
thing. Yeah, that's so crazy.
I mean, that is just incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
Look at that.
Oh,
look at
wow.
That. That's incredible.
Yeah, it looked like
dude.
Sculpted out of clay.
Mm-hmm. That's some shit like Mindhunter. You know, like they put that shit up on
that could be me.
It could be you.
Yeah. And their heads are soft, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like soft.
Yeah, they even got like the little hole at the start, don't they?
Their brain doesn't congeal till much later.
Do you like, know when mine was born at Cedars and I went with her down the hall, walking down the hall, and they were cleaning her and to see a human head like shift and because she's just born it's were you in there when they were it's wild man and knowing that I might have said can we pull a little bit flat of the back can we pull just a little bit out, like a filter now with the picture like just because you could see it
right.
You could see it like almost like a water balloon like shift
yeah
very exciting though
I don't remember
I mean,
that stuff
I think that
I'm very
were you in the room when
he's
you
a miracle
first?
Child
yes.
So we had a little bit of, what were you saying?
Oh, you had problems.
We had a little bit of a scare in the beginning, so he survived.
Awesome.
Congrats, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that there's anything in your life that you will have happen to you where spontaneously you will feel the emotion of seeing that
mm-hmm.
boy come out.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, I cried a lot as a kid, but I never cried spontaneous
right.
until I saw mine for the first time.
Yeah.
And when you don't have kids, I remember watching 60 Minutes, and they said, when you don't have kids, you don't think of people who have kids or, you know, have something happen to a kid until you're a parent.
Mm.
And then you worry about everybody else's kids. And it's true. Like, if you don't have any reference
right.
and you see a kid that's like, hey, are you okay? And it's like, oh, I lost my mom, you know, where you, before you, and you become that. And went way beyond. My wife was like a Karen before they were Karens.
Right.
And I would be like, Ann, that strap is not on in the baby pajamas. Your baby's gonna fall. Like, Ann, fucking just, you know, everything was her issue. Yeah. So, will he be born in Los Angeles?
Yes, at Cedars.
Ah, Ah. Very good. That's what my daughter
I'm glad I'm
can't
not
go wrong.
Birthday yeah. Kaiser after.
And
I go to Cedars now, by the way.
As a couple, when you go and get the updates, it gets more exciting now.
Oh yeah, yeah. And getting through all those first tests are the, you know, they test at 20 weeks, 16 weeks, 20 weeks, and then because they can test for everything now.
You know, I'm glad that they didn't have that when we were being born, where they could tell you. I think my grandmother would have said, "You know what? Hey, pull a plug,
keep them."
I think I would have said, "Frida, you should not. Nah, let's go eat." I would say that, you know, now all the kids are tested, and when we were growing up, you just looked different one day. They would go, "Come over here. You don't have fucking eyelids?" You're like, "I was born without them." "I never know." "Okay, go ahead. Your eyes don't dry up?"
Good.
Like you one right. day you look different
right.
to them,
right.
and then they find out you were pigeon-toed or, you know, you were left-handed,
right.
but not like now the whole gamut of tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So.
And
you just passed all the tests.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, do women still crave like
weird
stuff? Is that still
stuff?
Happening? Yeah.
Yeah, mine has been really strange. I'm eating like a 14-year-old teenage boy, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I know. And you just feel it, right? Like, what are the cravings?
Well, in the beginning, I was very sick. Like, just nauseous. Mm-hmm. Never threw up. Just like, imagine your worst hangover all day long. All day long. That's for like 17 weeks. Back then it was mac and cheese. And
A special kind or from someplace?
I wanted all the original flavoring, like Kraft, or just you know, like take it back to what I ate.
But did you like Kraft growing up?
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I wanted to get some protein in my diet, so I like tried some of those fancy mac and cheeses.
Yeah. But
good? They were okay. They were okay.
But Kraft.
Yeah. The original.
You know, there's something to.
I like the homemade stuff.
I like the.
Yeah, the homemade stuff is good. Yeah.
The little noodles, the Kraft little noodles. I'm not sure what they are, but it could be part of that wall right there. But
Peanut butter and jelly was a big one.
Yeah.
Still what kind into of that.
Jelly or grape?
It was more like a berry. Yeah. Like a.
Right, like a raspberry?
Yeah, like a blackberry.
Blackberry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're into blackberry and peanut butter, then you are pregnant because that's like, that's a total crave.
Very weird.
And in the middle of the night, any of that stuff, like. But Elvis would go get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in Denver, and he was in Memphis. Right. Well, that was drugs.
Right, that was different.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the night, do you say like, "Oh, you got to go get me"?
I don't like need a hamburger in the middle of the night, but I will do like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Cereal. Cereal. And then the weirdest craving recently has been oranges. I'll have like 6 oranges a day.
Mm-hmm. That's
just like the vitamin
C. As long as they're
C
good and juicy, I love them.
Yeah.
I really have.
Right?
I've been eating a lot of oranges.
Also, did the doctor say that's too much sugar or?
They tested me for gestational diabetes and I was good. So.
Okay. Remember when they would say, have a glass of oranges in the morning, but there's a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah.
And nobody thought about.
I know.
The sugar of it.
I've been going more for the sweets than the savory, way more than I do in my real life. Way more.
Seafood or anything like that?
No.
Do you eat breakfast at night?
Yeah,
I love breakfast. If you could eat something at night for breakfast.
What would it be?
What would it be?
It's all I ever used to eat when
pancakes?
I was in Vegas.
Oh.
What'd you eat? Sausage?
Eggs, sausage, and hash browns.
Yeah.
Sourdough toast.
Can't go wrong. Oh, sourdough. Yeah.
Aaron?
Ooh, I mean, I'll do breakfast for you
any
time of the day.
True.
Yeah. Any kind of egg scramble, egg, bacon, mushroom,
pepper. Frosted Flakes.
Oh.
In a big ass bowl.
Yes.
With a lot of milk.
Do you add a banana?
Yes.
Yes.
And I cut it with the knife, my grandma. With a spoon.
Yeah.
My grandmother taught me how to cut the knife with the spoon. Not a major trick or anything. She made it seem like it was teaching me how to walk.
Check this out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And when you grow up, I think when you grow up poor, I don't think you have to be pregnant, but you could have. A lot of times we had breakfast for dinner growing up.
When I grew up, honestly, I don't remember eating breakfast.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Just went straight for lunch.
Yeah, at school.
Well, your dad probably where your dad was. Your dad gone working, and
my dad was gone working. My mom was gone working. When I became old enough, I had two younger sisters. My sister reminds me. I used to make them breakfast, and she used to get mad at me because I'd make her eat raw pancakes. You're supposed to be like that. Eat them.
You know? Also, you were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Siblings?
Two. I'm the oldest.
Would they make you carry on adult duties as a child? Like, you know, how they did that? Like, watch your brother and sister or watch your brothers.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You got to be like,
you can't go because
age.
You have to watch your brothers. Where did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Chicago, in Evanston.
The greatest place in the world. And yeah, Chicago will, it's a good, you have a good background when you come from Chicago, I think. Yeah. Working class people. They don't favor anyone. And they used to be the way real people used to be.
Right.
They were honest. Mm. And they were tough. And they worked hard. And they weren't. When I was started, I went to a Cubs game, and I was working at the Funny Firm in the early 90s. And I'm sitting down in the bar on the way back. Couldn't get a cab, so I walked. And there's a guy sitting next to me, and he looks at me, staring at me, and he goes, "Are you a comedian?" I said, "Yeah." "You're not bad. You're not good. But you're not bad." And I said, "Right on, man, thank you." That is,
right,
where now you're going to tell kids everything they want to hear.
Yeah.
He said, "I saw you. You're not great. You're not bad." And that's under what form of childhood are you going to raise? Are you a helicopter parent?
No.
Which they call them, right?
Yeah. That's a term.
What kind of parent should I be? What kind of parent are you, George?
What is a helicopter parent?
Where they hover
over
the kid?
Where they like hover and they like...
Oh.
Yeah, way too involved.
Have you guys talked about that? I mean, you want to make sure they're safe, but not to where you're overly...
Yes, but I also think, I don't want, like, we're not best friends, right? Like, I'm your mom.
Come on.
Exactly.
Because I see all these parents wanting to be best friends.
Don't be your best friend.
And it fucks the kids up. I mean, I have friends who have parents like that, and it's not what they wanted. It's not what they needed. You know?
Totally.
Kid
didn't ask
for
a best friend.
Go get a friend. You can have a best friend. That's great. I'm your mom.
Okay. What's the number again?
818-533-1843.
Okay, here's what I think is a great...
Damn right. And
you know what? I don't think I've ever heard a woman say, "I'm not going to be that type of parent." How about when we were growing up and you saw boys that were emasculated at a young age already? They were already like pussies at like seven. Like, they couldn't walk home and they couldn't be alone and they cried if you fucking wet them with a hose.
Best friend, I can still hear his mother today, and everybody's deceased, but I can still hear her today. If you don't do what I say, wait till your father gets home tonight, mister. Right. Because I'm not wearing it. I'm going to school. That's my best friend. We're going walking together, and I'm not wearing a jacket. We don't need a jacket. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to. I told you to wear a jacket, mister. You're not going to wait till your father comes home tonight. And if she felt that strong, why didn't she just beat the shit out of him then? That's what she should have done.
You want to make one the good person and one the bad one.
Yeah. Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. But I mean, listen. I was doing a show Saturday, and I was talking about people who have kids that have food that can't touch.
Right.
And where it came from. And there's a lady, a rather young lady, and she says, "I have a daughter that can't eat if the food touches." And I said, "Well, how old is she?" She said, "Fucking 30. I mean, come on. I mean,
let her go fucking hungry then.
But what is it though? At what point did kids say, like, I don't like this play. I don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
why was that, like, why was the follow-up to that, like, okay, cool.
Yeah, fine. Don't eat it.
No.
So I looked it up. Apparently there's a term for it. It's brumotactylophobia.
What?
It's brumotactylophobia, when you don't like your foods to touch. And it's considered, and it comes in varying levels of severity and is believed to be a very mild form of OCD. Mm. What we were talking about earlier.
But
FIC, foot culo.
Children under, so because that's what happened. That's what with kids' friends, I would say you have to make sure that the friends are okay.
Right.
Because, you know, if they with mine, I would say if they see something, they can't unsee it. So you want to make sure that whoever their friends were weren't going on the computer at their house, because right. we had filters on the computer at our house.
Right.
And that's the issue.
No, for sure.
It kills me right now. I got two of my younger grandkids. They get to choose what they want to eat. And I'm so talked.
You know, my grandmother used
that's
to
that's a big
me,
thing.
You know, my grandmother would make me choose. She said, you could have that or you can eat shit. Those are the two choices.
I tell my kids. I tell the grandkids. They don't understand. I said, come mierda. That's what, you know, when mom's not around. Then, come
your,
mierda.
Your partner, do you have the same beliefs in child rearing?
Yes, and he has a 13-year-old.
Okay.
So...
that's cool. I think
I've been able to observe.
You got a bit of a babysitter built in, which is good too.
You got it.
Which is good too, because would you? I know I can't see who it was. Somebody, there's two people that were very, they were known, and they were dating, and they were very much in love, and they could not agree on how to raise the child, and they broke up.
Really?
They didn't have a kid, but they said, "What are your views on how to raise a child?" And they were very, very different, and they couldn't agree, and they broke up.
Wow. Before even having a baby.
I could see it. I really can.
But would that be an issue, do you think, of, or would you say, well, we'll work it out, but if someone was adamant about...
God, I mean, yeah, I mean, if it was a huge difference than what I envisioned...
Yeah.
I've seen my older sisters go through it.
And what are the issues of...
They ended up in divorce.
Because one was too easy, or
one didn't want this, and don't tell my kids what to do, and this is it, and one was wrong and one was right, in my opinion, and he left. Good move.
The wrong and right thing is, and also if you have a mother or in-law or someone who has. More of where they think they're right all the time, they would say, I wouldn't let her do that if I were you. I wouldn't let him do that, but it's not your child. And then that's why it goes up like a powder cake.
Right.
Are you looking forward to that? So far, I'm making it all. Hey, this is the best time right now. Incubation is the best time. And, you know, and also, the thing when you realize when you're leaving with a baby is in the car seat, because I don't have the car seat, is that there's no manual, there's only what you've prepared for, and then you get home and it gets colicky and it cries for 7 days in a row, and both you and your partner are ready to fucking throw each other out the window, and it's colic, and it just happens where they don't stop crying.
On the job training.
Yeah. Mine, we were living in an apartment here, and I would get up and would go to the baby, and I would go to the kitchen and get the milk, and... you know, it would be 40 seconds, but Anne would be like, hurry up, and it'd be like 32, 31, and she goes, come on, she'd be screaming, and it was so in the middle of the night that I would forget to put the fucking bottle, I would close the microwave and set it for 40 seconds, and then turn it on, and I would leave the bottle of milk on the counter, and you look at the thing, and they wouldn't even be in there, I was so tired. But they're, yeah. But it's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We want to see a picture. We want to be uncles.
I will.
And we're going to send a Mexican blanket, because, you know, and all kids born now should have some culture
exactly.
in their life.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I do think, though, there's some responsibility as a woman raising a man, a boy.
Oh. You know? I like that, yeah.
I think a lot of, you know, a lot of people blame, you know, what if you want to, like... put some quotes around, like, toxic masculinity or whatever. I may say something controversial here.
No, that's what I say.
We love controversy.
But I think a lot of it comes from the mothering of boys. Every boy needs a father, obviously, right? But...
I'm going to say that I never knew my father. My father took off. And all the guys I grew up with had fathers.
Mm.
And I said in elementary school, every boy needs a father. And I was like 12. 12-year-olds shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But Father's Day and having my grandmother around, it's all very difficult. So, yes, speak on that, because I think you're most definitely.
Three children, mm-hmm. two girls and a boy. Right. The last one was a boy.
Right.
He's now 44 years old.
Mm.
Every boy needs a father, but every girl needs a father.
Oh, well, yes.
They all need
parents.
And my son turned out to be nothing like his father.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I love him any
less. I wouldn't
less.
Say that.
I love him. He's got the biggest heart in the world. He's a great son.
So he's not like you?
He's not like, well, because I'm heterosexual, he's gay.
Okay.
It doesn't mean a damn thing. I love him to death. We talk to each other every day. I wouldn't trade him for the world.
You only talk one time a day?
No, sometimes.
Okay,
really
so, thanks, Aaron.
You're the only one laughing, Aaron.
But can we? No, let's go back to that. But I want to talk about what you were saying, because I agree.
Well, yeah, I just and watching my mom. I have a sister and a brother, and watching how she sort of raised my brother versus us. I think there's sometimes a bit of a coddling that happens with moms and sons. And sort of like, oh, that's fine. You're so cute. You do what you do, and it doesn't propel the boy into society in a way that is actually.
If we're to believe the way that we're raised, that the man is the keeper of the house,
right.
What you're saying is what we heard growing up, where the boy was 15. And the girl was 13, and she would say, make your brother breakfast, paint the house, and keep your eye on him. And he did nothing.
Correct.
And that's where I think, in where we grew up, the girls were like, I mean, listen, man, they should not have chores or take care of somebody who's older than them just because of what however somebody was raised.
Right.
Yeah.
Six sisters.
Paint the house, I said.
You have no brothers.
Wow.
Two younger than me. The four older didn't take care of me. I took care of the two younger ones. And I would cook for them. I would do everything for them.
But that's rare, no?
I don't know, because I didn't live in anybody else's house.
Well, so the other four, they didn't...
Two of them got married early. They were gone.
They got the fuck out, so they were like, I'm out. Yeah.
But the others were just... And then... I wasn't spoiled until I went in the Army. When I went in the Army, then I came back, then I became spoiled.
Listen, if you have to go to Vietnam to feel spoiled, your home life is like a motherfucker. Can you imagine? You go to Vietnam, you're in a helicopter going, listen, man, it's fucking awesome. You
just see where step
I came
up from.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like...
So I became spoiled with a family then.
The iron fist is not the way to get it done either.
No.
Or not listening to somebody when they have something to say. Shut up.
And I love them today.
Yeah.
My family is very, very close. And my two daughters that are older and my son, we're all very, very close.
Let me ask a question. If you could go back and be honest, don't worry about your wife listening.
I'm not going to.
All your answers have to do with whether your wife's listening or not.
You made me hate her now.
I love her. Would you have wanted your sisters to be more caring of you?
No.
Okay.
No. It was. Find the way it was.
It's hard to say something that's.
It was fine. It was fine the way it was.
Because they were gone, and then you took the part that they probably should have had as older. They got married and got out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the most part, three of them got married, got out. One stood there a while longer, but it was just a family. Mm-hmm. You were saying, one TV in one room, one in the other.
Yeah.
We only had one TV. Mm-hmm. So it would be, you get a half hour, you get a half hour, and it'd be my half hour, and then they'd start screaming, Mom, he just wants to watch sports. None of us want to watch sports. Mm. Okay, cámbialo, cabrón. So I'd have to change from sports.
Did you ever have to change the TV with pliers?
Yeah.
You had to do that. You're too young for that.
Yeah, so I...
Well, what happened when you guys were growing up and you were having a feeling or you were emotional about something or... A girl broke your heart or something happened at school where a bully punched you in the face. Man. What did you do? How did you deal with that?
I dealt with it with my friends, the guys on the block. We shared everything. That became, the guys on the block became my family.
Mm.
Not this family, but they became my family. Because at 17, a cop took me home and said, told my parents, get him off the streets, he'll end up dead or in prison. So at 17, they signed for me and I went in. But I mean, it was the guys on the block became my family.
And you felt safe enough to be open and...
Yes, with them, oh, most assuredly. We all shared stuff.
The guy that I named my first show, the character Ernie, I knew him before I was even in first grade, passed away like 3 weeks ago.
Mm. Yes.
So my first friend passed away. So yesterday we had the memorial, and he had a family. Like, he had sisters and brothers and a mother and father, and I didn't. My mm-hmm. grandparents raised me, and my grandfather wasn't my biological grandfather. My mom was my grandmother. And when you think about how easy it could have been for him to neglect me, to not call me or not include me, you think about how great this guy was, that he didn't turn his back on me when he knew I didn't have many friends, and that he stayed with me and would say, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that, let's go do that. When at home, he had way more than I ever had. I never knew my father, and my mother didn't raise me. And, you know, toward the end of his life, we weren't as close, but you know what? That didn't matter as much as how important he was in the beginning of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't remember when I didn't know him, and to say goodbye is like a really tough thing,
mm.
you know? Especially when you realize that all the things that I like, golf, playing the guitar, Richard Pryor, and comedy, all were his idea. I must have been a stupid motherfucker. I had zero ideas. But, you know, I'm the godfather to his son, too, so I never had a son. To neglect a child, especially when it's like neglecting a plant that needs water and needs sun, is the worst fucking thing that you can do to a child.
Right.
So I think mothers that are do too much for the boy is really devastating to his future relationships.
Right.
You've got to grow up, you've got to have friends. You know, they need mother and father, but they also need outside connections.
Right.
They really do. And I was blessed enough to go back city of Pico Rivera, where I grew up in. I was asked to be the keynote speaker at an event they had. And I told them, Pico Rivera, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Pico Rivera was my village.
Mm.
You know, you go anywhere. People back then, you know, you mess up on the block, somebody else's parents would, you know, they'd rat you out, they'd kick your ass, they'd yell at you. So everything, they kept you all in check.
Right.
And it was the village that kept me there.
Community.
And I'm fortunate
so
enough
important.
To have friends today that still remind me. I went to a celebration of life about a month ago. A lot of my old friends from the block. And it was just as if we hadn't seen each other in years. It was great seeing everybody.
And the fact that time goes by so fast.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So what were you going to say about the moms and the...
Oh,
about they go, they're too coddling of them, or
yeah, or just
they don't allow them to have an independence.
Or just sort of like they're treated differently.
Yeah,
they're just put more on a pedestal maybe than the girls.
I think so.
And then on the flip side of that, they aren't cultivating like a well-rounded human.
If you have a teenager and the father's like, she's going out, she has a hickey, you're a whore, but then the boy
is
an athlete.
Right, like this.
Yeah.
Right? Were you ever told to man up? Or just be a man?
My grandfather used to tell me that men don't cry.
Right.
And forever.
I never heard that as a kid, nor did I ever say that to my son.
Hmm.
Or they said, no seas mamón, which means like, don't be a pussy.
Right.
And we heard that.
How did you interpret that?
It's not to show emotion.
Right.
To close down.
Right.
Yeah. I can't believe I talked about Ernie and I did not shed a tear, which is very impressive.
I remember talking about Ernie.
Yeah. But I do believe that you know, and I think it's in the generations, and even as the generations keep going and you think that more women are reading books, or however you get your information, it still kind of reverts back to being an overbearing parent.
Right.
You know, right. Like you, is it against the books that you are reading versus what your mom did and your grandmother did and her grandmother did, where it's all kind of a routine.
Right.
My mom was tough.
And the shit that you go through in the beginning of your life, almost, I remember pop-up video where they would say, oh, this was filmed in L.A., and they go, boop, and you know, It's almost like you wish your life could be like a pop-up video, so when someone says something to you, and they come up and say, this shit's going to hurt you for a long, long time, that you were able to identify the things that were going to be devastating to you later. Totally. Like, I was never able to really kind of connect with a person romantically because I just never saw a healthy relationship. And then as a comedian, you become innocuous to fear or nerves because you're shut down already. You're like a veneer. But where, you know, if you had a healthy relationship, you would be something that you go, man, I'm so nervous because I'm here. You know, it's like I was by myself all the time. So I
vulnerable,
never had somebody
exposed,
say I'm here.
Yeah. Let somebody see you, all that.
What is your podcast?
Before we, it's
no, but I think those
pregnancy.
Are those great? Are those great points? I think they're, listen, man. I think they're, I had a very, 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 very difficult childhood. And not by abuse, but just being alone.
Yeah.
And being alone is the fucking worst. Even if you have a guitar or you're watching TV, you're still fucking alone.
Yeah.
And that no kid should be alone in a house where there's another adult in there. And they'd prefer that you sit in the room by yourself than to come and sit next to them and take part in something.
Yeah, that's traumatizing.
That's pretty bad. And people do because, you know, if you're looking at your phone or you see something on social media where, like, a little boy is taking a picture of his mom and his mom is all sexy trying to pose. It's like, man, that's...
No.
You
that's,
can't...
No.
You can't... Yeah.
No.
She's a good-looking mom.
No.
And she's like, up higher. You know, I'm only 2 feet tall. Let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah, it's called Was I in a Cult? It's hilarious.
I love the title.
It's a documentary style. My co-host is Tyler Meesom, and he's a doc filmmaker, and I bring the comedy to the.
Yes, what documentaries has he? Is it behavioral? Is it not about pregnancy, but is it behavioral as a scope of the way people behave, or is it about when
the show itself is about people who have been in cults and survived them?
Wow.
You were a sheriff.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, it is heavy stuff, but it's uplifting, it's inspiring, it's not doom and gloom. We sort of take a different approach to cults than anything.
How many people, like, you know, if it's sold out, even though there's a couple still single tickets, they call it a sellout. Mm-hmm. How many people are considered a cult? How many people do you have to believe in you to be considered a cult?
Well, you can be in a one-on-one cult.
That's you and your
marriage.
Wife. You and Pearl. What she tells you
me
what
and Pearl,
to do.
What she tells me.
And you, you're locked in. Yeah. So I... First of all, I never heard anybody say you could be in the cult with just another person.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah.
So that's sort of what the show is doing as well. It's just breaking down the stereotypes of what constitutes a cult and exposing how many cults there are. There are so many cults.
Cults of, let's give us some examples of cults.
There's religious cults.
Okay.
Right? We have some ones you've heard of, like... polygamists, Mormon cults.
Right.
You've heard of that.
Right.
You've heard of Scientology.
Yeah.
We don't have a Scientologist yet. But then we have a woman who was, her mother was her cult leader. So it was a family cult. And she tells that story.
So, which I kind of, was the mother mentally ill or was this
I would say, well, all cult leaders are NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. And then on top of it, they're usually sociopathic.
Jim Jones?
Yeah. Fuck, it's
a bad combo.
That's quite a combination there. Yeah.
And, but we have other, the stories are amazing. And we're telling the story through the individual's experience. A lot of cult stuff you see, it's focused on the cult itself and the crazy cult leader.
Right.
This is about somebody's journey in, during, and out.
Okay, that's... Is there a, are there documentaries that we can watch anywhere, or are podcast is, how can people see, like, that's the shit,
we're going to make a show, but we haven't made it yet. So okay. Right now you can just listen to the stories.
Okay. You know, it's kind of really, man, I mean, and
that would fascinate me.
Oh yeah.
But also, let's think
about
this.
But we do make jokes, and we bring lightness to it, because cults aren't all doom and gloom.
Which is the way it should. Which is the way it should be.
Right.
Because in order to, if you are attacking something, somebody will shut down. But exactly. If you're making light of it, they might leave their mind open enough to get you to think, shit, that, you know, fuck, that's.
Well, it humanizes it, right? Yeah, it humanizes the experience. The guest feels seen, not just like, ooh, you weird cult person, yeah. Right? Because we really show that anybody is susceptible to falling into right. an environment like this. And so that's why we have the before story. We get to really know you as a human before you went to this presentation, or your friend took you to this coffee shop, or it's even
like that.
Yeah.
So run me through. Do we have time? We have time, right?
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes.
Bill Burr is not here for another hour. run me through how someone would take somebody to a coffee shop and then get involved in something that would be considered a cult.
So, you know, have you heard of the whole NXIVM scandal?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. Have you heard of NXIVM?
No.
Bro, that...
Great, great girl, Jessica Joan, episode 3, I think, on the show, 3 and 4. She was actually the whistleblower. She worked with the FBI for 2 years to take him down. Wow. She's a badass.
Yeah.
She's a badass. So, she got invited by... masseuse or something to like a, just come to this presentation. And you know, they always get you with snacks. It's always free wine and mm-hmm. snacks. So she just went to this event, this night, harmless, free.
Was it at somebody's
living room?
Yeah.
And it was just a simple presentation.
And was the woman there? Not Keith Raniere.
Nope, he wasn't there. She wasn't there yet.
A conduit.
Yep, it was one of their recruiters, and it was sort of like, you know, this is a self-help space where we just help you become the best you can be, and this is how we do it, and this is what it looks like, and then look at all these examples around you, and look at all these people, and then all the people tell their testimonies, and they position it as a class.
Yeah.
As almost like a self-help, this is how I started to use my time more wisely. There's a thing called The Vow on HBO, and it's, I mean, 2 seasons or something?
Yeah, the second season's coming
out. And it starts with... Like if we said, you know, we want to be a little bit more, you wouldn't want to say aggressive, mm-hmm. just savvy mm-hmm. in business. Mm-hmm. And you know, do you know how many times people neglect their own self in order to put someone else ahead? And then they start to push the buttons and they kind of have you. And then it becomes where they're almost, I don't know, brainwashing that.
Well, that's the whole thing we show, right? We show the indoctrination process
yeah.
and mm-hmm. how manipulative and slow burning it is. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like you put a frog in lukewarm water and he's just having a bath and you turn the heat on. By the time the water's boiling, he's boiled to death. He can't jump out.
And
that's the analogy of getting indoctrinated.
And they were in Canada, they were in Mexico. They had people in Mexico that were even in the presidential families.
Yep.
Oh, no.
And the...
The other thing, too. They recruit a lot of powerful people, rich people.
They recruited a couple of daughters who were very high up in a alcohol family that created, you know, famous alcohols. And they kind of started to write the bill for this person
right.
to attach himself to the Dalai Lama, or attach themselves to different people where, from the outside, it looked like
they paid the Dalai Lama $1 million.
To sit there. And the Dalai Lama was on to them.
The Dalai Lama.
And he was on.
Mr. Holier than thou himself.
And he was on to him. But he got on to him, though.
Yeah.
When they went to go visit him.
Oh, right. Right. Later.
He was on to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you think of the... Well, I can say that with that Dalai Lama. But if you're... Okay. But... It can be like where they infiltrate. I'm not infiltrate. Is not the right word. They start where somebody would say to you, "Recruit. I have a new friend, Gil. He likes the same things that you like."
Yeah.
And then you go, and now you're like kind of like you're starting to connect the dots, right?
Right. And like it's interesting because it's sort of full circle. It goes back to like community and how we crave community as humans. We want that feeling of belonging, and so they prey on that and they exploit that in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And they make you feel like they have what you've been missing.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
With the group hug and the clapping and the what are the top five? But you said also little ones, like amongst people in neighborhoods. I'm sure probably right, maybe.
In what?
In neighborhoods and things that aren't as big.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
is an HOA a cult?
Like, which is spooky, man. Like, it's spooky. Well, it's spooky. If all of a sudden you go home and Pearl's not there, or we go home and you're not there, and all of a sudden they come back and they're happy and they say, "Where were you?" "Oh, we meet every Wednesday and we do this," and you think, "Oh, okay, that's cool. So Wednesday you're gonna be over there." But then as it progresses, it turns into
Yeah, and it all goes back to the leader, right? That's the difference between a cult and just a men's group. Is do you have a narcissistic, sociopathic leader starting to dictate your behavior, your choices? Do you start to doubt yourself? Do you start to have to ask this person, "Oh, is this, do you think I should do this?"
But that person has to be put on a pedestal so that when you meet him, you're like, "Oh my God, there he is."
Right.
And then he starts to tell you things, and you're like, you know, you're a people pleaser. Like, you just want to please people, and you're like, and they just start to push the buttons.
Oh, and then they'll say, "But George, you are so brilliant and you're so funny and you would be so good here. I mean, I can see where you're lacking in some areas and I can help you with that."
It's like when they give you Botox, where they say, you don't need a lot, just right here. And once they put it right here, forget it. but they chip away. They chip away at it.
Yeah.
And then
they build you up, and then a little breakdown, and then
in that thing we told you with the vow, where the guy was a documentary and filmmaker, and then he meets a girl that was an actress, and they connect.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she starts to think like this shit doesn't really kind of make sense, and blows the whistle.
Right.
And then the husband stays on this side while the wife goes on that side.
Right. Right.
And you're like, wow, like, he's like, "Boo, you know, I think you're overreacting, like it's not that."
Right.
And
fortunately they found themselves. No, but that's also what happens, that whole separation, us versus them mentality. There's all these, through doing this show, I've become quite the cult expert.
Is there a connective thing to the country, or is it regional? Like, is there something that connects in California that goes through the Midwest and back east?
Well, yeah, there's cults that have headquarters all over. You know, some cults are religious cults, so those have a lot of the non-denominational Christian cults have headquarters.
Okay.
Or not headquarters, but have locations in many different cities.
And have you guys had people come out? I'm sure you have to have people that monitor them. You can't say.
Yeah. No, we haven't had anybody
wait
come
till
out. We had one woman who came on she was in a cult. It was her boss. And it was a small environment. And she listened to our show. And she, you know, reached out and said, "I need to tell my story." And I now realize what I wasn't just a toxic work environment. He's a cult leader, and he raped her, and she went through the system to get that. And he has all these people working in, this is in Nashville, and he has people behind the scenes. So nothing ever happened
to
him.
Off?
No.
But
we never say his name. But he did reach out to us and said, "I deny all claims." And then he said "and I don't drive a Ferrari, it's some other car." And we're like, "You just got accused of rape, dude, and you're correcting what kind of car you drive?"
It's actually a 2006.
But also, you know, we're talking about how courageous Leah is, you too, that's a That's a heavy.
Yeah.
Because they, because you know, if somebody calls you a bad Catholic or they say, you know, you're a heathen for not going to church, they don't follow you home.
Yeah.
Or put a video camera as you walk out in the morning and start to talk to you as you're walking to your car.
Right.
And allegedly some groups do. So even in that, it's very courageous because...
A lot of the cults we've had on the show for the first season, I will say the leaders are some of them, a lot of them are dead today, so that helps us. Or the cult has been dismantled. Fuck. Or it's like Jehovah's Witness where... It's a whole religion you're pointing to, and
what do the Jehovah's Witness believe?
It's a great question.
They don't believe in education.
Or birthdays?
No birthdays.
They don't believe in birthdays. They don't believe in accepting gifts.
No.
They don't believe in Christmas.
No, they don't believe in holidays. They've taken a part of the Bible and just interpreted it to their own liking. But you should check out JW.org. One day it is fascinating and terribly written.
really? Okay, so we are. Give the number out.
818-533-1843.
If there is someone who realized they were in a cult and not realize it, because I think it's called grooming. I don't know what it was called before. Mm-hmm. People started to groom people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it called before, like just going along? Like, what would grooming be? What would grooming be if you would say that, you know, you were a detective and if you said the guy walked into a place like almost like a pimp and then they had girls, like what would that be called if you had people do things for you and then you got them to believe that, almost like Manson, like they were doing
grooming.
Something for the good of.
Yeah. Call it grooming.
It was called grooming back then even? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you find somebody like in the Charles Manson situation where like Leslie Van Houten comes from a good family in La Cañada, ends up at Spahn Ranch, and Charles Manson says to her, "Your father doesn't understand you, does he?" And she was like, "This is the first time that I ever had someone just really see through me and understand me.
Especially a man."
That's right. Especially
they
a man.
Pry on all of that.
Do you think that are we almost done? It's fascinating.
Yeah, right. I know it's. We can go.
Do you think that a group of people who are married, but also treat their spouse in one way, can be cultish, in a sense?
Definitely.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know what that means?
I never looked at it like that. Well, but I can see where it would.
There's ties between abusive relationships and cults.
Yes, but if wives were of the same mind where they started to control their husbands and not allow them to do certain things, which is not, it's you're changing someone else's behavior.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cultic behavior. Yeah. 100%.
What about those dudes that have to pretend, we're talking about that They've been kidnapped in order to go to a bachelor party in Las Vegas.
Like, right. Might be in a one-on-one cult, dude.
You know what I mean? Where they're like, dude, my wife's not going to let me. Dude, I'm getting married. It's like, hey, you motherfuckers, I'm going to go to McDonald's.
Yes.
Put a bag over my head. Take me to Vegas. We'll come back. Beat the shit out of me. And I'll say that they took me. But it becomes like that, doesn't it?
And the point of the show, too, is like you get to see that the behavior isn't that, you know, it's not just like, those crazy robe-wearing cult people. Like, it could be in your own home. Mm-hmm. It could be with your own wife or husband.
And when... If you're in a relationship and you're not sure in your heart of hearts that it is the relationship to continue, that person will say to you, listen, if you don't want to be here, all you have to do is say, I don't want to be here. But... nobody ever says, I don't want to be here.
Right.
Because they're afraid.
Right.
And that's part of it, right?
Well, yeah. I think a lot of it is people ask questions like, if you don't understand how this stuff works, they say, well, why don't you just leave? And that's...
right.
You can't just
now,
leave.
See, now you brought up another question. Why don't they want to leave? Are they afraid of the unknown? Afraid of just leaving their security? why won't they just leave?
Okay, as a detective, when you knew somebody had fucking done something,
yeah,
and you asked them, did you do it, and they said no, what did you think? Like, if you said, hey, they say the police never ask a question unless they know the answer to it. They're not guessing. So you would know, and you would say to somebody, are you responsible for this? And they would say no, but you knew they did. Why would they say no?
Because it's an irrational act that they're trying to get away from, and it follows with acts of rationality in order to get away from it. So you murder somebody, that's an irrational act. Now you're acting rationally by trying to separate yourself from that. Mm. So that's why we expect them to say that.
So the lie is?
It's an act of rationality.
You don't want to be honest with, yeah.
Well, I think also, too, like, why don't you ask, why don't you just leave? Or why do you?
Yeah,
why
yeah,
do you feel
I,
like you
I
can't
just
leave?
You know, if I'm that unhappy, and I sit there and say I want to leave, I'm afraid to say I want to leave. Am I afraid because I'm afraid of leaving comfort? You know, at least I have a house. I have.
Well, there's usually it depends on the couple or the situation, obviously, but usually there's some. You've been brainwashed to a degree, and your self-esteem has been ripped from under you from this person who you're in this situation with. So
okay, two things.
Like they say the definition of a cultic relationship is you're seeking love from the same person that's abusing you.
Ah.
Right? So you're constantly trying to win this person's approval.
Gotcha.
And also at the same time, you say, okay, finally, I feel strong today. I'm going to leave. And then that person says, yeah, you can leave, but you'll probably get cancer.
Yeah.
Or you can leave, but, you know, I know you, and you're going to... You can't really do it on your own. Oh. Or they'll say some super.
Be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does it go back? And I'm going to say that it goes back to, for a man, being treated the way that your mother treated you and not giving you a fucking spine where you could disagree with somebody. I'm not going to say. I'm going to say when I was married, everything had to be right or wrong. We couldn't disagree.
Mm.
And I would say to Ann, who I love, Mayan's mom, why don't we just agree to disagree and not have somebody have to be right or wrong?
Right.
And that we could never be in disagreement. Somebody had to be right and somebody had to be wrong. So when you're not going into her saying, no, you're right, I am that way, I repelled, and then you get out. Instead of saying, when you see some husbands that do go way over and are being manipulated, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, I think is a manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up at the point where you're really at the fucking end of your rope. You've walked the plank and the only place to go is down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the manipulation that you've dealt with leading up to that point.
Is just...
It's like getting untangled from...
Sounds good to me.
and there is no benefit for going along.
Right.
You're just going along.
Well, you're going along to appease. You've sort of lost yourself.
And yes.
You don't really get a say anymore. Your opinion isn't.
So Jaden Smith and Willow Smith are... Will Smith's children. Willow Smith wrote a letter to Tupac saying that I wish you were here because if you were here, you would make us happy.
Oh. I saw the headline that she'd written that letter. I did not know that's what it contained.
Pull the letter up and let's...
Yeah.
We may not air it, but I want to get your opinion of what... You've never heard anything like it. I mean... From someone maybe who was a stepfather, a father, they're fighting. He's
Tupac,
better to me.
Was Tupac and Jaden?
Jade, I think maybe they were maybe dating back in the day.
Huh.
But she wrote a letter to somebody who hasn't been around in 25, almost 30 years.
And somebody who she obviously
and
never...
And how much she doesn't know.
She never got over him.
You got it? I mean, this is chilling.
Yeah, finding a couple. Is it... Does this look like it? Dear Tupac.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, dear Tupac, I know you're alive someplace. I think that my mommy really misses you. Can you please come back? Can you come back so mommy and me can be happy? I wish you were here. I really do.
Wow.
And I think it's a sad face. It looks like a scribble, but love, Willow.
Wow.
That came out
It's got to hurt.
I just saw this started to go around.
That's got to hurt.
Articles from within the past week.
I'm out golfing during the day doesn't mean I know what's going on in the world.
That is maybe one of the most devastating things that could ever be written.
What will Will say now?
Will he slap himself?
What do you make? I mean,
that's
something,
in your
something
life,
to chew on.
In your life, you would never think that someone would write that to,
and then publish it.
We're sure that she wrote that?
I mean, that's just what I found on this quick Google, but I had seen that article and that headline sort of going around for the past couple of days, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's something not right going on in
and
that.
And there's something going on a little bit that's of what we have spoken of. Yeah.
There's some major
You guys can do an episode
stuff.
On that.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, well, good. Thank you. This was awesome.
Yeah,
no, great. Thank you.
You
want
to tell the people again where to find, where to follow,
sure,
any of that good stuff?
Sure, you guys can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. It's called Was I in a Cult?
I'm going to start I'm going to be flying. I'll be not in town, but I'm going to download those and check them out.
Fantastic.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Can't wait. Let me know what you think. And you can follow us at Was I in a Cult on Instagram. And I'm at the Iacuzzi.
Okay.
Like jacuzzi with an eye.
Have you spoken to the Nexium, any of the people from the HBO thing? Or
not from the Vow. No. But Jessica, the woman I did speak to was asked to be on Seduced. She turned it down though.
Yeah.
Did you watch Seduced?
Yes.
You did.
Seduced is like on Stars. Listen, man.
That's only 4 episodes. And that one gets into all of the key stuff.
They branded, the dude was branding women.
Bullshit.
On their pelvic region.
That's crazy.
Like Aaron. He has an ATC on his hip.
Well, that's true. Fascinating. None of the girls I spoke to were branded. They got out before that.
Will you put your information?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Branded with, like a cow, in the fire, on the flesh. And they hold the person down.
That is alleged.
You know, I almost got a tattoo.
About the covent? Like people that were in covens.
Oh yeah.
So when I bought my house in Los Angeles, there was an elderly woman who lived alone next door to me, who was in her early 90s, and then she passed away, and the house was sold immediately, and it was.
I put both of them on there.
It was. Oh, thank you. Understood that she was part of a covenant of women who had never been married and who lived in that house, which was owned by whatever religious sect that they believed in.
Right. That's cool.
And she was the last one.
Is she out? Does she want to be on the show?
She passed away. She's
Damn. Well, thanks for coming out.
Thank you, guys. This was amazing.
And you didn't have to pee the whole hour plus.
I know. Can you believe it?
That's awesome. Gil did. That's why he got up.
This is a huge fucking kid.
How big did it say?
Look at how big it is.
I don't know. It looks good.